Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Craig doesn't have the Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, joining us now from Odyssey in Cleveland, 92.3 The Fan, the Browns beat reporter, also a host. You can hear him in there doing a lot of different things. It's Daryl Reiter at Reiter Wrong FAN on Twitter. Daryl, always good to talk to you, man. Thanks for doing this with us tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. So this is a game that's going to be kind of reminiscent to a lot of people of the 2007 Bills-Browns snow game in Cleveland. What was your role at the time? Were you in the business? Were you covering the Browns at the time? Were you going to games as a fan? What were you doing?
I covered that game. I remember that game. I remember that game like it was yesterday. The Browns, of course, won 8-0. Phil Dawson hit two improbable field goals because it was a blizzard.
Yes.
I mean, they were using brooms, shovels, leaf blowers, anything they could to clear the markers so they knew like where the actual football field was because it was so covered in snow. And it's probably the greatest field goal that I've ever witnessed. Phil Dawson boomeranging home a 49-yard field goal that's literally skid across the crossbar and took a bunch of snow with it as it went through. And then of course, the safety, the snap that went over the punter's head, and he had to frantically scramble, and kick it out of the end zone. So yeah, I mean, that was a wild, wild game, and looks like the Bills get to host their own version of a snow bowl.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that there are so many stinkers between these two teams and they don't even play each other that often that I had to think back to which stinker you were talking about. Because at first I thought it was the 6-3 game. And then I'm like, no, not the 6-3 game, the 8-0 game, not to be confused. Daryl, what's the general vibe right now in Cleveland? Because obviously I know the Deshaun comeback is going to take a lot of the attention. But up until that point, what have you seen from the team this far into the season?
Well, I mean, they're just wildly inconsistent. The offense has certainly done their part to help them win games, but it's unfortunately not been enough. And the defense just has not been what many people expected. They finished last year so strong after the Patriots took them to the woodshed in Foxborough. They just somehow flipped the switch and they ended the season really, really strong while the offense with a beat up Baker Mayfield was just kind of limping to the finish, so to speak. Whereas, you know, this year, God, they blew a game against the Jets in week two. They were up 30-17. Nick Chubb scores the touchdown and you're thinking that just the ices the cake. And the defense just completely caves. You got to blame the special teams unit a little bit too, because they couldn't recover an onside kick, which is like football 101 with today's rules. It's an aberration when onside kicks get recovered today because of the way the rules are written. So they blew that game. They come back, they beat the Steelers. They go to Atlanta, they blow that game. And the run defense, that was the first time the run defense really fell apart. The Falcons just ran it right down their throat. 10 play touchdown drive in the third quarter allowed Atlanta to really take control of that game. The Chargers came in with one of the worst rushing numbers in the league. They run it down the Browns' throat. Four of the last six games, the Browns have allowed 150 plus yards on the ground. And not surprisingly, they're 0-4 in those games. So it's just New England took it to them. That was really the only bad game Jacoby Brissett has played. He had a couple interceptions and a fumble. But if you would have told me going into the season, guys, that nine games in, Jacoby Brissett's only going to cost you one game with his play, right?
Yeah, right.
Sign me up for that yesterday. Mm. So it is really disappointing that this team comes in now 3-6. Their season's basically over because they've got five losses within the AFC. The Ravens are about to run away with the AFC North again. So there's really no mathematical equation out there other than everybody in the AFC goes in the tank down the stretch and the Browns almost went out. They can lose one more game of their remaining games. And let's be honest about it. Based on what I've seen through nine games, there is no way that is happening.
And I think going into the season, it was, hey, let's stay afloat until Deshaun comes back. I mean, that's almost even written off as well, right? So what does it look like now? And can you kind of give us everybody an update on what, you know, the situation is with him returning to practice, timelines and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely was. Just keep the boat afloat. And again, going into the season, I had felt, hey, you know, Jacoby's probably going to be the weak link here. And this is why the Browns made the trade for Deshaun Watson, giving up those six draft picks, three of those first rounders, breaking out the checkbook, $230 million fully guaranteed over 5 years. The criticisms that they have taken publicly because of the civil lawsuits that were filed against Deshaun, the 11-game disciplinary settlement with the league, $5 million fine. Like, it was just keep the boat afloat until this guy gets back. And then he's going to be I don't want to say savior, but he was the missing piece, right? Baker was the problem last year. Quarterback play was the problem last year. Had they had, you know, better quarterback play, they would have won more games and made the playoffs and things like that. Now you have people talking themselves into, well, you know, if Deshaun had started some of these games early in the season, those four losses by 1, 2, or 3 points that they have on the schedule, well, Deshaun wins those games. He would have been the difference maker. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, well, okay, that's reasonable to say. Jacoby didn't stink to join up in those games either. Like, he had done his part. As far as Watson's timeline goes, he started practice on Wednesday. That was his first practice since August 30th. Quite frankly, he threw the football on air. Okay. That's what we got to see. What I observed, he was the third or fourth quarterback taking reps. Basically, he was the last guy in line. And that's why the video I posted, sarcastically, I said, here's your Deshaun Watson throwing footballs video y'all been just, you know, begging to see for the last couple of months. Here is literally him throwing the ball and you see him running to the other end of the field where he throw, you know, take his turn, throw it back the other way, run back down the field, rinse, repeat. He's in line to be fully reinstated November 28th. And then he will start December 4th, the ultimate troll job by the NFL.
Yeah.
Yep. Houston against his former team.
Yeah.
The Texans. So he's close. Two more weeks. You know, they got the Bills, and then of course the Buccaneers will follow. And then the Deshaun Watson era officially begins.
And I just want to tell everybody, you can find that video at Right or Wrong FAN on Twitter. But of course, Daryl is the host of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, and he joins us here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. That was just a coincidence that he was coming back against the Texans. It had nothing to do with any of that. Daryl, why is the defense struggling? Because there's a lot of big names on the defense. And I was of the belief going into the season, obviously I'm a lot more far removed than most people, but I'm like, wow, the Browns got a good defense. If Jacoby Brissett can kind of just be okay, they probably can still be in it at the end of the year. But it feels like they've lost a lot of games, not because of the offense, but because of the defense.
100%. I don't know why the defense is struggling, to be perfectly honest with you. I'd love to just sit here and run down like the, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, because it's everything. One week it's the run defense. The next week it's miscommunication. The next week it's assignments. The next week it's technique, they're calling it. And I put that in quote, air quote,
yeah.
You know, which is translation. Somebody keeps screwing up. And Joe Woods has come under a tremendous amount of heat, and I've actually kind of been a defender of Joe Woods. Like, look, he can't go out there and be where the all 11 guys are supposed to be. It's easy to blame him and say, fire him, but who the hell on the staff's going to take over the defense the rest of the way? And who's going to do a better job? Like, okay, did Joe Woods suck calling the game against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? Like, the Browns are like one of the few teams that have actually been able to at least keep Lamar and the Ravens in check. He only completed 9 passes. I know the Browns lost by a field goal, but like, the Bengals game, Joe Burrow lights the league up, not against the Browns, just 13 points on Halloween there. So I'm not of the notion that Joe Woods is this moron and he can't call games. I think these guys are playing these big names. They're all playing individual football, and individual football is not winning football. It's just boring Bill Belichick cliche stuff, but it's true. You got to do your 1-11. You got to do your job. Just focus on yourself and trust that those around you are going to do your job. And I think that there's not a lot of trust on that side of the ball that people around them are going to do their job. And that's why early in the season, all these blown coverage was we would see in the secondary, and every week it was a new, communication. Well, we got the communication fixed. It's all squared away. And then they blow more coverage. Well, that's technique. That's not communication. We fixed that. It's technique. Well, either way, people are screwing up and you're giving up big plays. So, and now the run game has just gone to hell, and that's twofold. One, they've lost two linebackers, Jacob Phillips, torn pec, and then Anthony Walker tore a bicep tendon in week 3 against the Steelers. It was a Thursday night game when he got stepped on. And so that's a big loss. And the reason that's a big loss is because they got a lot of inexperience at the defensive tackle. And that is an area that Andrew Berry, the EVP GM, thought, we'll be fine. We're just going to get through this year. Part of the team building, draft develop type deal with some of those guys. And they don't have a lot of defensive tackle. And that's why they're giving up the yardage. You see, they're starting to give up on the ground.
What about in the secondary, as far as just the talent? Like, it seems like they have some talented players. You talk about technique and communication, all these things they blame it on, but it seems like they have the talent that they should not have those issues.
100%. This is not a team, and this is my greatest criticism of them. This is not a team that's in rebuild mode. And the other problem that they're going to have, looking big picture, I know you're asking specifically right now, but big picture problem they have is they don't have first round picks for a couple more years.
Jeez, so, point.
I mean, they went all in with this roster because Deshaun Watson was the missing piece, and they invested in John Johnson, bringing him over from the Rams. Denzel Ward, giving him $100 million contract extension, their 2018 fourth round pick, which I agree with. I think when he's healthy, he's one of the best corners in the NFL. Myles Garrett, who is now on paper, officially, the all-time sack leader for the franchise in just his seventh year or something like that. 6th year, I believe, for him. He was drafted first overall in 2017. Jadeveon Clowney on the other side. Those two guys, like, I don't even know if they played in Miami. Like, I didn't even notice them. That's not the part, like, that's just the reality. Like, they barely register in the box score, just a couple of tackles between them combined. And that just isn't going to get it done. So, yeah, I mean, they got some names, they got some players, but names and players on paper don't always win games. And I think that the Browns are kind of finding that out the hard way.
Daryl, understanding that we don't really know how to predict the weather and what it's going to be like on Sunday at Highmark Stadium, how do the Browns come in and win this game? What do they got to do to leave with a win?
Turn and hand the ball to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
There you go.
Which, oh, by the way, is how the Bills are probably going to have to win too.
Right.
I mean, going back to that that snowball in 2007, I think the Bills threw it like 33 times in that game, and the wind was just howling and whipping around and stuff like that. I mean, it's just common sense. When it's windy, you don't try and throw the football much, and especially if there's inches or what is forecasted feet of snow on the ground. It was funny. A national reporter came to town and was talking to him today. And they're speaking about the forecast, and they're like, yeah, I'm not used to snow. So how much is a lot? And I said, well, when they stop saying inches and they start forecasting feet,
that's right.
That's bad.
Yes, it is.
I said, no. Just, and they just looked at me with the, you know, like, okay, kiss my back.
Yeah.
You know, no, smart, you smart ass. I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm just telling you, like, well, the old 68 inches, you can work. When they say 68 feet, you got a problem. So don't even know if you guys are going to be able to host this game, right? I mean, that would be my, you know, my thing is what on earth happens if the town has to, you know,
right.
Down or something like that, just because of I mean, I realize that the NFL takes priority over anything.
Oh my gosh, we know.
No matter what town you're in.
I mean, I'm on the charter for the team, and I mean, it's police escorts and stopping traffic, no matter what city you go to, right? The NFL does take precedent, but yeah, if Orchard Park decides like we can't get essential services to the stadium, we can't get security to the stadium, we can't plow, I don't know what the answer is. And I don't know what's going to happen as we sit here today, as we record this, by the way, everybody, just to be transparent, Wednesday night, still nothing other than game Sunday in Orchard Park at 1 p.m. I wonder if they could move it down a little bit later in the day if they have to clear the streets and get people in there. But it is something we're monitoring, something we'll be on top of. Daryl, you talk about Chubb and Hunt. They are so good. I mean, the run game has been what they've leaned on. These guys are so talented. I did look. It doesn't look like they're necessarily as productive in the run game as of late. Is that just because of score effect? They've had to throw the ball a little bit more?
That and the head coach who's calling the plays.
Explain, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I can't fault him for Sunday in Miami just because that thing got out of hand there in the second half. So, you know, Nick Chubb comes out of that game with 11 carries. I think Hunt had five or six carries, but less than 10 yards total. So they have been, that was one of the rare instances. And part of the issue in the run game was the offensive line. Jedrick Wills had a tough day. The left tackle, Jack Conklin, the right tackle, got dinged up a little bit. Wyatt Teller, who had missed a couple of games with a calf injury, he had returned, was out by the second quarter because he re-aggravated it or something. So then they had to bring someone off the bench who was part of their jumbo package. His name is Yelda Froholt. They threw him in there for Wyatt. And, you know, he did a nice job filling it, but Miami was physical and kicked their butt on both sides of the ball at the line of scrimmage. And so when the defense is hitting those gaps and physical up front and getting that type of penetration, I mean, that's one of the few games where you saw Nick Chubb getting hit and tackled on the, you know, first contact. So it was tough sledding in Miami, but overall, like, that was the first time I would say in a long time where you were watching it like, damn, Nick Chubb just is getting nothing today. He did, sneak out for a touchdown, but overall, I credit Miami for taking advantage of, the Browns' offensive line, which was less than 100%.
Wyatt Teller is the one that got away.
Teller, yeah. Wyatt Teller
is the one that got away. Man, everybody in Buffalo is still just befuddled that they ever traded that guy.
John Dorsey stole him from you guys. Yeah. I think it was like a seventh round pick that the Browns gave the Bills for him. And I remember at the time when that trade was made, I was like, okay, I'm just bringing in some offensive line depth, seventh round pick, whatever. Then all of a sudden this dude turns into a Pro Bowler. You're seeing him on, I'd be going back and watching the games and be like, holy crap, this guy's like pulling, and not only is he pulling, but he's taking out like one, two, three, four, five guys a play. I'm just like, damn.
How is he as a pass blocker, Daryl?
He's pretty good. A lot of the pressure on Jacoby Brissett has come from the edges. It's not come from the interior of the line.
Well, the reason I ask is I think that, and I'm of this belief, I think, of course, Wyatt Teller, you'd love to have him in Buffalo still. I don't think he'd be what he is here that he is there, because it's Josh Allen and throwing the football around, and it's pass protection. It's not a pound it run game and maul you, which is great. It'd be great to have him, but I just don't think he would have been the same fit in this system.
Well, and again, the Browns have the hybrid of that Shanahan wide zone blocking, and where pulling is just so important. Him and Joel Bitonio, I think, are two of the best guards in the NFL. Obviously playing offensive line is difficult, so don't misconstrue what I'm about to say. But it's much easier if all you got to do is just kind of come out of your stance and block the guy in front of you, or, seal your gaps, right? Your A or B gaps. But it's hard when you're having to come up, maybe pop a guy to slow him up, and then you retreat so you can pull to the opposite side, find what gap you're supposed to fill, because Chubb or Hunt or somebody else or the play, Brissett, or, you know, it's coming in your direction. And now your job is basically to be an escort and plow the road. And you're right, the Bills don't do anything like that. And Teller's athleticism really allows him to do that, again, as well as we see Joel Bitonio do it. And look, I think Bitonio, if he stays on his current path, I think he potentially could be a Hall of Famer someday. And Teller, if he is able to, because he just got a contract extension last year from the Browns, if he's able to have some longevity with his career and be a perennial Pro Bowler like Bitonio, maybe Hall of Fame ends up in the conversation as well. But there's a long, you know, there's a long way to go with that. But to make Bills fan feel a little bit better about losing a guy like that, when I watch Buffalo, and obviously you guys are there, so you know better, and you've alluded to it. But when I watch Buffalo, they don't do a lot of pulling. There's not a lot of zone scheme there. It is just straight up pass protection, straight up basic run blocking. And, you know, I don't know how, you know, right, Wyatt Teller would fit in that type of a scheme.
Daryl, last one for me. I mean, we, like we said earlier, we have no idea what kind of impact the weather is going to have on this game.
Duly noted.
Sal and I are going to get there, but what do you think happens? Like, what are you predicting for this game? What are you anticipating happens?
I'm predicting the thing gets moved. Oh, I mean, I am predicting that there's going to be a lot of snow. Hopefully Bills fan comes out and gets that field cleared off for everybody. And then it just snows like hell again on Sunday. Yeah. I love snow games. I think that they're great. Obviously I certainly respect all the responders and people that have to kind of deal with it and make it safe for everybody. But I just think that those games are fun to play in. And it's also kind of like the great equalizer. What I'm interested in with Josh Allen's arm is how he's going to be able to maybe to deal with if it's windy, you know what I'm saying? How strong is his arm going to be thrown into the wind? But yeah, I favor the home team in that regard, just because you guys play in snow, those type of games more often than the Browns do. Talking to Browns players in the locker room, Nick Chubb, he's like, I used to watch that stuff on TV and I've been dying to play in one. So I'm looking forward to it. Jacoby, we asked him, I asked him today how he prepares as a quarterback. He goes, hell if I know, I'm from Florida.
but he played in the 2017 snow game here.
He did, and
he made it very clear. Do not ask him about the results of the game, because the Bills won that game 13-7. I looked it up.
So I
think that there's a little bit of an advantage there for the Bills if they do play in the snow. But the Browns, to win, it's got to be with their run game, because I just, any game that Jacoby Brissett is forced to get into some sort of a passing throwdown showdown with, that's just not who Jacoby Brissett is. The Browns are a very deliberate ball control style of offense. That's when they are at their best. They can get explosive plays, don't get me wrong, but yeah, I think if it's a snow game, it favors Buffalo, because it's just that home field advantage.
All right, Daryl. Well, if you like, go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I just hope that it's nice and toasty in the press box, guys.
I'll be down in the field. So Daryl, quick story. So, in 2017, the Bills played this snow game, Jacoby Brissett and all that. And I'm down in the field. It was so bad, I couldn't see in front of me because the snow was hitting my eyeballs, you know, coming sideways. So I had to kind of put my hands in front of me. So after that game,
you know what you need to do right now then, right?
You know what? After that game,
make sure you have goggles.
I bought ski goggles after the game, and they've been sitting in my house for 5 years. And the only time I've ever used them is going sledding with my son. That's it. I don't ski. So I'm going to have my ski goggles ready. So when you see me, when you get there, by the way, safe travels in. I hope you get here okay. I hope everything's okay. When you get here though, you will see me in my ski goggles down in the field, I think. So we'll have to see that, and you'll be a part of that. Hope you get here okay, and everybody does though, for sure.
I'm expecting lots of pictures of you and your ski goggles.
You'll see them. By the way, if you like snow games, which you said you do, watching it on TV, we said we're here on Wednesday night. Now that we're done, go watch Western Michigan, Central Michigan. It is the warm-up and tune-up for Bills Browns. go see it on TV right now. Daryl, thanks for doing this, buddy. We appreciate it. At Writer Wrong, F-A-N on Twitter, host of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. Of course, The Fan in Cleveland and Odyssey sister station. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks, Daryl.
Thanks for having me.